Good morning and welcome to Martinsville Community Methodist. We'd like to open this morning's service in prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. We thank you, Lord, that you give us such blessings, and we want to remember those who've gone before us. And Lord, we just look forward for that day that we will meet you in the air, and all of those who've gone before us. And we just rejoice in that in the name of Christ our King. And that we ask for a blessing upon the message and also upon the service as we lift you up. We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Let us continue our worship by joining me in the call to worship. In this world we are born into the beauty and sorrow of everyday life. Into this day we awake, into possibility and the unknown. Into this church we are welcomed, into God's grace and each other's truth. Let us worship our God this day, who we are called and loved. Continue our worship by reading the responsive reading of Psalms 29, on page 761, that's page 761, Psalms 29. Please join me in this reading. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and of his name. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, the Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes in the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl, the stirrups, the forest bare. And the temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. So is the reading of the psalm. This morning's Bible reading is from Genesis, and it'll be selective readings from Genesis chapter 7, 1 through 24, chapter 8, 18 through 22, and chapter 9, 9 through 13. Please join me if you can. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, and you and your household, for you are alone, and I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you every clean animal by sevens, a male as a female, and the animals are not clean, two male and female. Also the birds of the sky by seven, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of the earth. For after 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made." Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. Then Noah said to his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, "Enter the ark because of the water of the flood. Of the clean animals that are not clean, and the birds and everything that creeps on the ground." They went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came about after 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 7th day of the month, on the same day, by the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates in the sky were open. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On that same day, Noah and Shem, Ham and Japheth, The sons of Noah and Noah's wives and three wives of the sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast of its kind, and every cattle after its their own kind, and every creeping thing after creeping on the earth after its kind, and every bird of its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos, all flesh, in which was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded to him. And the Lord closed it behind him. The flood came upon the earth for 40 days. The water increased, lifted up the ark, so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, for the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under heaven were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher than the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds, cattle, beasts, every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. All that was on dry land, and all in those nostrils was breath of spirit, life died. Thus he blotted out everything that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals, creeping things to birds, sky, were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left, together with those who were with him on the ark. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Skipping down to 8:18. So Noah went out, his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird that moves on the earth went out in the families from the ark. Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every kind of clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on the account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from its youth. I will never again destroy every living thing that I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And skipping down to 9:9. Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and every living creature that is with you, and the birds and the cattle, and every beast on the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, and every beast on the earth. I'll establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is a sign of the covenant that I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I will set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So is the reading of the Word of God. Father in heaven, as we step into your Word and know that these texts are written for our encouragement, not for our discouragement, these texts are written to build our faith, we pray, Lord, that they give us faith, they give us hope, even though it is many years after that this event has happened, and give us insight as to what we're due with this story. We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Last week, I covered a number of points in the story about Noah before the flood. One, Noah was a direct descendant of Adam, and knew Adam's great-grandson, who knew Adam for multiple lifetimes by our standards. So Noah knew everything about Adam, the first man who was created, and that the evil at that time was unbelievable, and we had to look into historical accounts of the book of Enoch to get a better understanding of how evil at times it was, and how that the blood of men was shed so bad that it cried out to God in heaven for God to do something. And then Noah spent 120 years building the ark out of gopher wood, which, of course, Gopher Wood no longer exists. And he covered, and it covered that the ark had been found near Mount Ararat in our most modern times. And so if the ark is real, which it's clear that it is, then this story is not just a story, but it actually is fact of it happened, and God is telling us about it. And then we had Methuselah. He was Noah's grandfather. He's the oldest living man, and he died after 962 years of life. And that's about 7 years before the flood. So I want to catch that all the successive generations that were mentioned in Scripture from Adam to Noah, they all died or were taken, as in the case of Enoch, before the flood. They were not killed in the flood. Enoch shared that after Methuselah died, the destruction would come, leaving Noah as the last living relative or patriarch of the family listed in the Bible. And of course, the ark, while it was being built, I'm sure that Noah collected up many things, including relics, history, food, all in preparation for the water to arrive, what God was talking about. Now, it's interesting that it talks about the animals came. Now, of course, Dr. John C. Whipcomb had written a book called The Genesis Flood, which was a very thick book. And he describes the early earth as one landmass. So if there's just one landmass, it is possible that all the animals, every one of its kind, two by two, would make it to the ark. We're not going to have some animals stranded in South America or the North Pole. It was all one big landmass, and they all could walk and traverse across it. At least that's what Dr. Whitcomb concludes the pre-flood world was like. And that the atmosphere at that time was so thick, and I mean distance-wise, filled with heavy water, that it protected life from all this ultraviolet radiation that we have trouble with now, and that it didn't really rain, it was just kind of like a heavy mist, and that way that plants grew, they got some misting, but there was no heavy rains and flooding. So that was all a new experience of having flooding in the time of Noah. And also, if you know, there are clean animals taken by seven. And that distinction of clean and dirty animals really was not made until this passage where God told Noah to bring the animals, the clean animals by seven, the others just two by two. And you're sitting here thinking many people have been down to the ark down at Kentucky. At our park program, someone had mentioned that they had been down there and been to the ark and seen the full-size version of the ark. But you think that every little differencing animal, all the different type dogs we have, all the different type cats we have, you know, the boat, there was no way it was going to take up every different type cat. But in verse 14 and 15, I want you to catch the nuance here. It says, in the second month, on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Joseph and the son and Noah and his wife and all three wives and sons entered the ark by every beast of its kind and all cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. It has the word kind in there. And so what we have is that not all the different type dogs, not all the different type cats, not all the different type cattle, it's kind, which means that we had two dogs. it, to cats, all these different animals, we had the specific species or kind on the ark. So not all the variations. And that way that afterwards, when they would go out and fill the earth and multiply, we would have the different variations, but it would be of that particular kind. And note that at that time, there was no law, because the law of Moses did not come until the Ten Commandments, which is when Israel left the desert. So this is a way, way, way before any of that. Yet, we had to take clean animals on the trip, so we had animals to sacrifice after the flood was over. And notice these verses indicated that going on the ark was only by invitation. There was no call. As Noah walked with God, God communicated to Noah what the clean animals were, which we're supposed to have seven. Excuse me. God communicated to Noah directly what the sacrifices were about. So all of this was set in motion way before the Ten Commandments. God had these things already arranged. And so the same thing is the animals that were beyond the ark were predetermined. God decided which animals and a kind of each animals, not all the variations. And the same thing, there was no call to the general public, get on the ark so you'll be saved. It was just for Noah's family, him, his wife, and his sons, and their wives. Those are the only ones that were invited on the ark. And you ask the question, why only Noah's direct family? Verses 6, 18, chapter 6, verses 18 answers that question. Here God says to Noah, but I will establish my covenant with you, that's Noah, and you shall enter the ark, that's Noah, and you and your sons and your wives, and your sons' wives with you, that's Noah. So God made a covenant with Noah. God chose Noah and his family. This was not by accident. God did this specifically, the same thing that God walked with Noah. And you have to understand, at this point, God starts working with covenants. Because we look at chapter 6, verse 18, this is a covenant between God and Noah's descendants, which of course are all of us. Okay, and we call this the Noah covenant. And then we have later on down the line the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the New covenant. And so, what a covenant is, it is a promise from God made with another party, for example, Noah, where God says, I'm going to do this. Now, God does not put conditions on the other party that they must fulfill and keep as part of that covenant. They are not empowered to fulfill their part of covenant. God takes care of the whole covenant by himself. It's not like a legal agreement, where if this party does this and this party does this, a covenant where God says, I'm going to do all of this for you. Not everybody else, just you. And that's where we have here, God is doing a covenant with Noah saying, this is what I'm going to do for you, your sons, the wives of your sons, and also all the descendants of all of you specific people. This is what I'm promising you, and I will make sure it's fulfilled. And this is important. It's very important, especially in our day. as I go down the list here. So keep that in mind. This is why Noah's family was directly saved and not all of humanity, because God did not make this covenant with all of humanity. He made it specifically with Noah and his direct descendants. And then in chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, that wonderful day arrives. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the seventh day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. And rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and three wives of the sons with them entered the ark. Note that the text treats this with great historical accuracy. It's noting Noah's birth as the reference or the time mark as to the exact start of the day of the flood. I want you to catch that nuance. This isn't some random story about some vague God. No, we're putting an exact date. Noah's birth date. So many days after that birth date, the flood happened. Okay? It's a marker with an exact date. And when it says, it doesn't say it just rained. It said the floodgates were opened, which means that all the water reserve that was in the ground was opened and burst forth and came pouring up. The sky, which was thick, started to be wrung out. So not only did we have rain coming down for 40 days and 40 nights, we had the earth, the water below the crust, forcing itself up, of course, ripping apart this landmass, and all that water coming forth, rising up, lifting the ark. And in fact, it says specifically that the floodgates were open for 40 days, the water raised up, and they were 15 cubits higher than the mountains. And when they said mountains, its text specifically says the mountains across all of the earth. It was not just the nearby mountains. It was all the earth. And even if it's a nearby mountain, Mount Ararat was over 16,000 feet. So at minimum, with no imagination, the water was 16,000 feet, 22 feet deep, because 15 cubits is about 22 feet over the mountaintops. But it doesn't say just Mount Ararat, the mountain that was probably closest to them that they could see. It would include Mount Everest, which is 29,000 feet. So the amount of water on the earth, the depth at that time, with the ark floating above the height of Mount Everest, would be 29,000 feet plus the 22 feet over the mountaintops, guaranteeing that no life survived. That was a guarantee. So the waters were on the earth for 150 days. And then it dropped below 16,000 feet, where the ark settled on Mount Ararat. The scripture does not say that the flood resided all the way in the 150 days. It says that it subsided, so the ark settled on Mount Ararat, which is 16,000 feet. And let me read that in chapter 8, verses 12 through 16. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out a dove, but she did not return to him again. Now it came about in the 600th and first year, on this first month, on the first of the month, the water dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. The second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. And God spoke to Noah, saying, out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives, with you, okay, bring every living thing, all flesh, with you, every living thing, all flesh with you, the birds, the animals, and every creeping thing creeps on the earth. They may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply the earth. So again, this is a very historical, accurate statement here, saying that in this particular date, the second month, the 27th day of the month, this again is indicating it's a factual event. And there are several promises. One, 18, it says, so Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons and his wife's sons to him. And every beast and every creeping thing and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out from their families from the ark, an altar to the Lord, and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So we have several promises there. One, he will never curse the ground, and the earth will remain. Okay? And this promise is to Noah, the animals, and all of Noah's descendants, which is us. Okay? And this is a covenant from God, which we'll call the Noah covenant. Okay? Now, this covenant is very relevant to us today. Because you hear talk of nuclear war, that the weapons that man will make will destroy the earth, and it will have nuclear winter, and there'll no longer be harvest, and no longer winter and summer, there will just be winter. Well, rest assured, God has made a covenant with Noah and his descendants, that's us, that day will never come. I read it again. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Which means God cannot go back on his word, because it's a covenant. And man cannot destroy the world through nuclear destruction, because God promised that we will continue to have harvest time, summer and winter, and day and night, and that there'll be seed time. That earth's fruit, no matter what happens, God will make sure that all that continues. And you can guarantee that because that's a covenant with us. And in Genesis 9:9-13, it says, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, with all your descendants after you, and every living creature that is with the birds and the cattle and every beast of the earth with you, all comes out of the ark and every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you and all flesh, never again shall be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be flood to destroy the earth. God said that set a sign of a covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for successive generations. I set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Okay? So now we have a rainbow in the sky, and this is both for the believers and the non-believers. This covenant God has made was not just to the believers of God, but it was made to all descendants of Noah. And before the flood, rainbows did not exist. After the flood, rainbows now exist. And the remainder, like it's verse 16, where it says, When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it and remember that everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. The bow that you see up in the sky is not just for us. It's for God. God looks upon that and he remembers, even though he has righteous anger, he remembers his promise that he will fulfill his covenant with Noah and his descendants, which is us. Okay, now this rainbow as a covenant reminder of this story is very important because not only do we have the confirmation that the ark exists, we have a confirmation that a bow in the sky exists. And this is a reminder of the covenant. And unfortunately, our enemy has continued to modify what God has done and twist it. So like we have myths and legends and stories all trying to change the meaning of the rainbow. We have the leprechaun and the pot of gold. Again, that's an attempt to rob God of his glory, rob God of the promises that he'd given so people would see that the story of Noah was true because the bow is set in the sky. We now talk about it being a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And of course, then we've got the rainbow flag, the same thing. Our enemy is trying to change what God has done and turned it against him and rob God's glory. So in concluding, the flood was a real historical event. The text that is read here indicates it is a historical event. And we have many things in our world, both last time I talked about, even this time, that back all of this up. You can see the rainbow. It's a fact, and it's in the story. And that the Noah covenant is the first covenant God made with man. And it was not just with man. It was with a specific man, a specific family, and his specific descendants. And all of us are descendants of Noah. And all the creatures on the earth are included in that. And that we will continue to have seasons. Planting time, seeding time, harvest. That will not stop. That's part of the promise that he's given us. And this is why the story of Noah and all the different facets of it continually come under fire from our enemy, because if our enemy Satan can convince you that this is a lie, this is a fraud, it's not true, then he can nullify God's promise to you. Because God's promise to you is, while the earth exists, he will provide for us. That's the promise. All mankind, the good ones and the bad ones, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's all because of the promise given by God to Noah in the covenant between Noah and his descendants and God. Take comfort in all of this. Amen. Now please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith. Page 888. Please join me. This is the good news which we've received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter, then the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe in Jesus Christ, the one anointed of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn of the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body of the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Let me close with the benediction. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Go in peace.